Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to W-A-W. What a week.
What a week. Week.
Well, as you can see, I'm back on the usual side, or rather back in the saddle. It was very interesting to be on the other end of questions, but now I'm chomping at the bit to get back into it. So, to use a term from the riding glossary, giddy up. Welcome back to Wow, What a Week.
This is
Wow!
What a Week.
What a Week. Celebrity Guest.
Celebrity Guest.
Our celebrity guest is in the building. He's someone like me who's made some widely reported and notable exits from major ventures. But he's also someone who knows how to make an entrance, even if that entrance is a bit slippery due to all the drool from all his admirers. So please give a wild welcome to the very talented and somewhat alluring Shomla Dandala, a.k.a. the pastor's kid. Shomla.
Alluring. I like that. From now on, I'll be known as the alluring Shomla Dandala.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it.
My dude.
This has been a bit of a trip, hasn't it?
Yo. You know, I was, you know, as I was making mental notes about your journey, I realized that we've been at this for over 30 years.
Yeah, man.
And still we're walking this journey.
Yeah, yeah. Still in the game. That's very, very lucky if you consider how many people have fallen off,
yeah,
both in your field and mine.
Absolutely.
The number of people who've fallen off and how easy it is to fall off. And we've been at this for 30 years.
What's the one thing you feel is the reason you're still at it, though, that you haven't fallen off, that you haven't, I don't know, fallen for your own hype, for argument's sake?
I stay away from the hype.
Ah, yes.
I actively stay away from the hype. Yeah. So I don't go to clubs. I don't go to places where people are going to do the whole hype thing. No, stay away from there. Keep the people who remind you that you're just a guy
yes.
who reads a script and executes the script in whatever form. And keep those people close. Everyone else, I'm doing it for you, but I'm not doing it with you.
He doesn't party much, but I can tell you for a fact that I got him out once, though. there's an event we did on a Sunday at a hotel in Sandton about 5 years ago. And he was there with the missus. I was there with the missus. It felt like an 80s school reunion.
I remember that. You really did. You know that? You really, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, that was the last time my wife, I shouldn't call her my wife, my lady and I,
yes.
a whole, yeah, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
That was the last time we went out to a...
For real?
Yeah, yeah. That was literally the last time. Now we walk past them just going, ooh, my eardrums would die.
Awesome, ooh, that used to be us. Have you guys done Spain before?
No, we haven't.
I think you guys should do Spain before you hang up your eardrums.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. I'm trying to get it to step out of the continent. We have this whole agreement that we will travel all the hot spots off the continent before we go out the continent. I've been trying to get her out of it.
Get out of the house first.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that, too. There's that, too.
So you're hitting 50 in September.
Yeah, man.
I hit 51 in October. Mm. What are the words that are used to address you that you're like, fuck, I am that old?
Yeah. Do you remember the first time someone went up to you and went, timer? And you're like, what? Why are you calling me timer?
Dude, right now I'm uncle to a lot of people.
Oh,
I'm
my
the
gosh.
Timer. I am Grootman.
Yeah, yeah.
To every Afrikaans kid, I'm Oom.
Oh, God.
Well, for the last 20 years, anyway.
Oh, gosh. I'm not Oom yet. I'll be hitting Oom in September. But yeah, it's surprising now. Mm. So back in the day when I started, one of the things I used to enjoy is getting on set and realizing I'm the youngest one there.
Oh, yes.
Because I started quite early.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I get there and I'm literally the oldest.
Yeah.
Where you look around and go, no.
You're the ancestor.
Oh, my God. And then you get people offering you chairs all the time.
Yeah.
Hi, please sit down. Are you sure? You want to sit down? Get away from me. Yeah.
In fact, your Christmas dropped in December, right?
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And you and Tumisho were the ancestors on that production.
Your choice of words, Fresh. It's your choice of words, man.
Tell us about your relationship with Tumisho before we talk your Christmas.
Oh, gosh. Masha and I go way back. Yeah. So Tumisho got into Wits, I think, a year or two after me.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of gravitated towards each other because we were the only ones who spoke like this.
Oh, okay.
And at the time...
You were from those schools.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, so we were from those schools.
Yep.
Otherwise, everyone else... You know, and so there was instantly a gravitation towards each other.
Sure,
And also because you'd get attacked for speaking like this.
Mm.
And then from there, we did a couple of plays. We had a trade-off. He had a flat in Bromfontein and I had a car.
Ah.
You follow.
Okay, so he had the mobility.
He had the mobility. I had the mobility.
He had the stadium.
He had... And so it was a natural thing. So I used to crash on his couch because we lived out in the sticks and I didn't have petrol. And my parents were like, listen, we wanted you to get into a real career and you chose this. So you're on your own.
Jeez.
Yeah, literally. They were like, good luck and go with God. So paid my fees, paid all of that. And I used to crash at his place and he was really gracious about that. Mm-hmm. And in return, we used to...
What is it about a friendship like that that has lasted over 30 years that constantly reminds you of yourself or pulls you back towards yourself? Having a friend like that.
Or
a mirror like that even, if you will. Yeah.
Because you can't bullshit someone who's known you that long.
Yeah.
So you can't suddenly reinvent and go, actually, I'm this cool guy.
Yes.
You can't be that because he's the guy who goes, remember that one time you pissed the bed?
Yeah.
Or remember, and so suddenly he takes you back. You just can't bullshit him. And it's nice to watch each other grow. So you check each other and for the most part, you try not to make the same mistakes. So he covers some of the mistakes and comes back and goes, hey, it's hot in there, and you cover the other half.
Before we talk about when you wet the bed, since you raised it.
I didn't wet the bed. That was an example. Oh, my God.
What would you say is the one thing he called you out on that you're grateful he did?
You. Probably. So one of the things I do as a human being is I generally am quite shy. I stay in comfort zones quite a lot.
Mm.
And he's very gregarious. He's a big human being. And so a lot of the times I'll be like, no, I need to step into this carefully. And he'll go, get off your...
And
he'll push you off the cliff. Mm. And he does... I don't think he's aware... That's the role he's played in my life. So the number of times where he's just like, dude, you're overthinking it. Just go.
Yeah, just do it.
And you need someone like that, especially if you're an introvert. You need someone who's just going to go.
And the one time you didn't listen to him and you look back and you wish you had?
The one time I did not listen to Tumisho.
Yeah.
And... Jeepers, quite a few. I mean, I'm thinking of certain productions, choices and work and things like that. Mm. There's been a few things where I've gone, and he goes, no, go, dude.
Yeah,
I don't know so much. And, you know, I can't tell you which productions, but I've done it once or twice. Once or twice where I've held back and gone, you know what, actually he was right. And if I announce it, he'll never let me live it down. So no.
So if you're not Netflixing, Your Christmas dropped this past Christmas, obviously starring Shomla and Tumisho and a gang of young talent, like hot young talent. But you play a minister.
Yes.
But you're not a stereotypical minister.
I'm one who's resigned and is quite happy in it.
That's probably why it rained, because the minister who resigned. That's why we still have rain right now.
South Africa doesn't understand ministers who actively go, no, I've done enough.
I will fall on my sword.
That doesn't exist in this country.
Tell us about the role, playing the role.
Okay, so the whole show is about this young lady who's looking for love, right?
Yes.
And so, and she's looking at different types of people, mm-hmm. and we strike up a chemistry and it looks like it might go somewhere until we bump into her parents at a spa, and we're sitting there naked, and suddenly her parents are there. And what really, turns the scene and what makes it awkward for her is that I recognize her mother. It turns out I was at school with her mother.
Oh, yes.
And now we start reminiscing there, and suddenly she's the kid amongst adults reminiscing about the good old 70s, 80s.
Is this another reason not to date young?
Yes. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Are we doing a list of why you shouldn't date below a certain age?
We can do that as a an Instagram series.
We really should.
Yes. Shomla and Fresh on why you should not date below a certain age.
Yeah, no.
It's coming soon on TikTok. Watch this space.
Like, if your children look at you and go, really?
Yeah.
Take her back. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Yeah.
If she's showing more stomach than your daughter, she must go, eh?
Oh, my goodness. If she's showing stomach and it looks anything other than heavily trained,
yeah,
or a little...
Yes, yes, yes.
Like if she's got just a natural, I was born like this,
yeah,
take her home.
Oh, so there must be...
No, there must be life there. There must be experience.
Like adipose tissue.
Yeah. So either I've eaten my misery,
yes,
or I trained my misery. But, you know, there needs to be a little bit of life there. Otherwise, no, take her home. She's too young.
If she has more TikTok videos than your 18-year-old daughter, she must go.
Oh, goodness. If she actively feeds her TikTok videos, take her home. Oh. If airtime, I'm going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
If airtime is an actual currency.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like yes. Buy me airtime.
Yes.
No, she's too young for you.
Okay, so if she's asking for anything.
Yeah, just no.
Okay.
No.
She can stay if she knows that something might come out of the goodness of your heart.
Correct.
But it must never be, I need this or
no, because then you're a minister of finance.
Oh, no, you're a father.
Do you know what I mean? No. Uh-uh.
Would you date young, though?
No. You know, I had a thing.
Because myself and Robert Marawa were under a lot of scrutiny for dating 35.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. No, carry on. I'm listening.
No. So I have a supervisor in my head.
Yes.
I've had to employ a supervisor.
I don't want your supervisor, though.
No, my supervisor keeps going, guys, no, we can't release that one. Please, bring it back. Bring it back. Back to the storeroom. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. And always have a gay supervisor in your head. Because,
okay.
Yeah, because they just understand a hell of a lot more than you.
And they're not going to pussyfoot around you.
No. Yeah. So my non-pussyfooting gay...
advisor.
Supervisor.
Supervisor.
Yeah, he just went, no, don't go down that rabbit hole. Put it back in the storeroom. But to answer your question.
Yeah.
Would I date young? Mm. When I was a kid, my rule was I don't date younger than my baby sister.
Oh, yes.
I think that still applies. I don't date younger than my kid sister.
How old is your kid sister?
She's 4 years younger than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wouldn't date below 45?
No.
Okay.
No.
Not even 40?
I mean, now I might, because there's a certain age where you start to be a kind of equal age. I've not done it, so that says something.
Would you date older?
I've dated older, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
It tends to go well.
Mm,
it tends to go. Candy's older than me.
Mm, but about not.
But
too
by
much.
A year.
Yeah, but by a year. Yeah.
A year, 2 years. I've not done more than that also, because then there's physiological challenges.
But is there physiological challenges, though, if someone is looking after themselves?
Well, if they're looking after themselves, then you're good. You're good. What you don't want to do is date someone where you're just like, please don't take the bra off. Please.
Like, should we switch the lights off first? Maybe.
Yeah, you see. No. I look after myself, look after yourself, and it's
so for instance, okay, so I want to need your supervisor to give me advice.
Okay.
So I've been asked out for dinner by someone who's 5 years older than me.
What's the upside?
For whom?
For you. What's the upside for you?
I think she's an interesting human being. Very powerful human being.
Oh, okay. So you're not having sex?
It's dinner.
Yeah.
There's no.
So you're going to chat and no discuss.
No one is expressed.
No, is there an implicit?
Not really.
Then please go right ahead.
It's let's hang out.
Yeah, no.
It's let's hang out.
By all means. Hang out, have a good time, go for dinner, exchange ideas, learn from them, all of these things. But if sex is involved, and this is me being ageist a little. Yeah. My supervisor just kicked it.
Could we please have a knife? We need to get the supervisor out of his head.
Oh, gosh. My supervisor just went. My supervisor says to tell you, go right ahead.
Yeah.
People are people.
Yeah.
And my opinion has now been put in the storeroom. So my supervisor is going, fantastic, go right ahead. You're doing great and enjoy them and don't be an ageist.
Okay, so if I was interviewing 30-year-old Shomla, what would his answer have been?
30 to a 35-year-old.
No. If you were 30 right now and asked you for the same advice.
Well, it depends. How old are you when you're asking the...
Nothing else has changed. Just it's Shomla who's 30 and doesn't have a supervisor. Because I can tell you the supervisor is a new addition.
Yeah. No, he's a new addition. 30-year-old would have gone, hell no. No. What are you doing? Wait, you have mother issues. Stop it. No. Date and everything, but... he wouldn't even call it date. Yeah. Go for dinner, have a good time, learn, but no.
Nothing else.
No, what are you doing? That's okay. Like with your mom.
It's just 5 years, dude. You know what? I think you're going to mislead me, so I want to go for dinner.
Go for dinner.
And then I'll share the results afterwards. Actually, I'll share nothing with you. You deserve nothing. You and your supervisor deserve
the
nothing
from
me.
People want to know. My supervisor needs to know. At least tell my supervisor.
Anyway, when did you realize, either as a man or as a creative, that you do need a voice of reason, even within yourself? Is there anything that happened that led to that?
Oh, gosh. I fell hard a couple of times.
Yeah.
Fell and bruised my face and ego and image and a couple of times. I think the worst thing that's... in the span of my career, I think the one thing I wish I could undo is social media.
Sure.
It's not done me any favors, really.
In fact, you had a rant on social media.
I've had a couple of rants on social media.
Which one do you look back at and say, I was right, I shouldn't have hit send?
Supervisor likes to say you shouldn't have commented on a picture of ex-wife and her person.
Yes.
That went south hard.
But do you remember what was going through your mind at the time?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I remember exactly. Oh, man. So the whole thing had gone south and it was just horrific.
Yeah.
And so I was living by myself. I was still smarting quite hard from it. And it was like new.
Sure.
I think it was a month that I had moved out of home, and they were posting pictures. So we had these friends that we used to go to.
Common friends.
Yeah, common friends.
Yes.
That we used to go to as a married couple.
Sure.
We would go there as a married couple, and it was an annual thing.
It was your thing.
Yeah, it was our thing. It was
a
calendar event. And now this is a month after I've moved out. We haven't even declared what's going on. We don't know whether we're divorcing or so, nothing. And I see these pictures, and she's gone to the event with the guy.
Sure.
And so that stung a lot because then it felt
as it would though, as it should though.
Yeah. And so now it was like, oh, so it's not just you. My entire circle has basically kicked me out as a pariah.
Sure.
alone and all that sort of stuff. And so this is at 4:30 in the morning. I went and posted, oh, that's nice. I can't remember what I posted. And 5 minutes later, Tony Khoroch calls me up. Dandana, take that thing off right now. Which I did, but it was too late. Yeah. It was too late. It was out there and was crucified for it. I was crucified for it. So yeah, supervisor was right. I should have.
Do you feel you were justifiably crucified, or do you feel the pain you felt at the time of the post justified the post?
I understand why I did it.
Sure.
I understand the pain I was in when I did it. I don't know that it's necessarily justified. I just know that I was in a really, really crappy space. There's a reason why guys off themselves when they go through that kind of hard time. And the pain of it is real. It's proper. And really, you do get little whisperings of, hey, maybe you should just hang yourself and end it all. And,
yeah, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
I mean, yeah, please don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's just pain talking.
Sure.
But you know, you get those whisperings. It's a real, real pain. It's a suffering. And so I wouldn't say it was justified.
Sure.
I understand
you
where
understand
it came
why.
From.
Yes.
Yeah.
In terms of stuff like breakups, for instance, you know, we know there's meant to be a bro code. Should there also be a friend code? That if we had common friends, they were our friends, therefore they can't be your friends with your new setup, for argument's sake.
Yeah, no, there should be. There should be a friend code. Like, there really should be. Because I've divorced twice in my life.
Sure.
And in both situations, I lost my entire circle of friends that we had as a couple.
Sure.
So friends, in my case, I don't know if it's a thing, but friends have tended to go with the lady.
Oh, yes.
On both occasions. And so you start again. So you've got a few people that hold up. These are people that you've known before the marriage.
Oh, yes.
So the Dumishos of the world, Tony, and so on, those people are my friends. They're not our friends as a couple. Those are my friends. They're my colleagues. They're my, you know. But the people that, the friends that we made as a couple,
sure,
they left with her each time.
Sure.
Yeah.
You've also had a back and forth, I think it was with Pamela Nonvet, about xenophobia.
Oh, gosh. Again, I was right. That one, I was right. I'm sorry. And it's, again, it's not a popular thing.
Yes.
And my supervisor was alive then, and my supervisor was going, leave this.
What was it about? Just a bit of context.
So
missed it.
What had happened is I live... Observatory Linksfield area.
Yes.
And I grew up, or at least I did my high school years in Observatory, and I used to walk to Yeovil and Berea. Hell, I used to bump into you at CD Warehouse. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. You used to get all your LPs from there.
Absolutely.
So there was a big cultural life. Hillbrow was very much alive. Berea was very much alive. It was.
Bez Valley was
Bez
amazing.
Valley. These places were amazing, amazing places.
Troyville wasn't a ghetto.
And so to go then, I think I was doing Jacob's Cross or something.
Yeah.
And so I was mixing with a lot of Nigerian guys.
Sure.
And there was it was before Jacob's Cross. It would have been much, much earlier. And there was a guy whose name my supervisor says I mustn't say, but there was a guy who used to sell drugs,
sure.
Nigerian guy. And one of the things he used to repeat all the time is, South Africa is a, how did he say it? South Africa is a ripe virgin, and I'm going to F her like one.
Oh, wow.
He went on to become a very successful drug dealer. And when you go back to those areas, you can see the effects of
sure.
that sort of thing.
Sure.
I also used to volunteer with the Hillbrow cops, where we used to document. I was an assistant. That wasn't even my thing. We used to shoot documentaries as young VIT students, film students. We'd shoot. And so you would see, between takes and cops would tell you the truth of what's happening.
Oh, yes.
And they had a moratorium where they were not allowed to say. So they used to say, listen, we are beset by foreign gangsters. Mm. These are not our gangsters.
Sure.
They come from somewhere else.
Mm.
And we are beset by them. Mm. And government does not allow us to identify them as foreign gangsters.
As a clear present danger.
Precisely.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to say it.
Mm.
And so they were gagged from that. No, that's a problem. When you can't even name the problem, when you're not allowed to name the problem, how the hell are you going to solve it?
Mm.
And so the pain of watching the decline of those areas and a few other things. And then I went on to do some research into how that happened. I went and did some readings. There's a beautiful, not beautiful, but a very thorough paper about how those areas were targeted and specifically targeted by foreign nationals.
Mm.
Not even foreign African nationals.
Sure.
Now, that's not to say African nationals are thugs, but the gangs that targeted those areas do come from elsewhere.
Mm.
And they targeted them and they literally
decimated them.
They decimated.
Yeah.
And so that's what I was communicating.
Mm.
But what people were hearing, and I simply couldn't get the point across. Mm. What people were hearing is, Shomla, you are being xenophobic because you're saying all Nigerians are thugs. And I'm going, are you nuts?
Mm.
Mm. I've been doing shows in Nigeria, in Kenya, these are people I live with.
Sure.
So no, I'm not saying that, but I am saying this particular group of people who have done this come from elsewhere.
Sure.
And so I dug my heels in, and maybe I dug I dug them in about 10 tweets too long.
Sure. But sometimes know when to walk away.
Yeah. It's something I should have just said, okay, we're not communicating anymore.
We're not hearing each other.
And I should have walked away, but I dug my heels.
Because the sad thing is, the minute someone has stopped hearing you, it doesn't matter how many other ways you try and rephrase what you're saying.
No, you can't reason your way around it.
They've already decided.
Yeah.
This is the devil you are.
Correct.
Or this is
the
villain that you are.
This is exactly.
And you can't fix it.
You literally can't fix it. Mm. I had the same thing where ladies suddenly heard me to be saying women can't raise boys.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. I once tweeted a thing where I said, can a woman teach a boy how to be a man?
Sure.
What they heard was, can a woman raise a boy?
Mm.
And there was nothing I could say to communicate that. No, that's not what I'm asking. And
sure.
And the reason I was asking that was because at the time I was raising, especially my daughters, alone.
Sure.
And they were just at that age where they were going from being girls to women.
Mm.
And what I was asking, but I didn't want to bring it home, was, is it even possible for me to teach my daughters how to be women?
Absolutely.
Because there must be things that are uniquely a woman experience that I can't possibly know.
Sure.
Is it possible? And if not, which was going to be the follow-up, how does one then move on with that?
Like, what do I do? Where do I go?
Exactly.
Yeah. Do I outsource? How does it work?
And so I swapped the genders and said, can a woman teach a boy how to be, especially around that time? And they heard something else. And again, I dug my heels in 10 tweets too long and it became a thing.
And then you had another fight with Chris Chameleon about white folk.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I can't even remember what that was about.
I think you'd responded to a Danny Kaye post.
Yes.
Something.
Yes. Danny Kaye had posted a thing.
Yeah.
And Chris took an opposing view. Yeah, I remember being quite passionate about it, about the video. I can't remember.
When did you decide that, okay, I'm done with these social media skirmishes? What was the turning point?
It was the 4:30 post.
Ah, yes. After Tony said.
Yeah, after Koroke called me up and just went, dude.
Delete that thing.
And immediately I killed all of my presence all over the place.
At an emotional level, at that moment in your life, what were you going through?
When I was
at that very moment where...
The 4:30 thing.
Yeah, the 4:30
oh,
thing.
Oh, gosh.
And the aftermath, and even a month later, just looking back at that.
It damaged me quite a bit.
Yeah.
I remember being very, very angry, and it kind of fed into a misery that I was already in. Because it felt like, number one, the guy tweeted the thing going, karma. I'm like, oh, dude. You have an affair with my wife, you post about it, and when I then get the flack for it, your response is karma. That's not cool.
How did it make you feel?
All manners. Anger is an interesting thing.
So what stopped you, for instance, from smacking him in the mouth?
My kids.
Okay.
My kids.
Did they physically stop you?
No, 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 no. No, just the thought
of it. Oh, I thought you were like, let me...
No. There's things you... I mean, you... Yeah. There's things you don't want to... You don't want your kids to perceive you as. And oftentimes you'll fail, but you'll fail towards something. And so mine was just, look, nothing good will come of this if I follow through on it.
Sure.
I respond in any way.
Yeah, if you let the alpha male voice win,
then
everyone loses.
Everyone loses. And so, you know, you sit on it. Do you remember in Rambo?
Yeah.
The very first Rambo, First Blood.
First Blood, yeah.
Where they take him into prison and then they spray him with a fire hose. And first he's fighting it and eventually he just sits against the wall and they just spray and spray. That's exactly what it's like. You just sit in that pain and you sit and wait for your body to adjust. You sit and sit and sit. And eventually your body's like, oh yeah, this used to hurt.
Sure.
It doesn't anymore.
What would you say was the turning point for you at a mental level in dealing with all of that drama? Do you remember a turning point?
No.
Or do you just remember that?
I just remember deciding that this is not going to go away. Learn to adjust. In fact, no. Candy used to say to me all the time, even when we were divorcing.
Yeah.
She used to say to me, you need to learn to be alone.
Sure.
You have got to learn to be alone.
And you know that I'm only learning that now.
What?
To be alone.
Yeah.
Learning that now.
It's because it's a hard thing to do. And it's hard to even recognize that that's something I'm unable to do.
And it's probably been the most difficult 3 months of my life, but it's also been the most liberating 3 months of my life.
Yeah.
Because I'm slowly realizing exactly who I am, exactly who I am not.
Correct.
And I'm also realizing, because even the people around you, you start realizing who the leeches were.
Right.
You start realizing that, okay, that was a cattle egret. Mm-hmm. So we had a symbiotic relationship and we fed off each other.
Right.
So the clarity is
amazing. It's amazing. And now I'm giving that to a lot of my friends, people who are going through a hard time.
Like,
learn to be alone first. Sure. One of the way I realized that, you know what, Candy's right.
Yeah.
And I do need this. And Candy's been an amazing constant in my life.
Sure.
Even when we were separated.
Mm-hmm.
I once, as an experiment.
Sure.
I think I was carrying I budgeted like 20,000 rand and went into Sandton City and I said, spend it. Spend 20,000 rand on you.
Sure.
Not on the kids, not on anyone else, just on you. I walked out with a DVD.
Yeah.
One DVD. Because I lost myself. I didn't know what shoes I liked.
Sure.
I know what shoes my partner likes for me. I know the look the kids want for me and. I simply didn't know.
You know what it was? You became such a professional provider. You forgot about yourself.
Correct.
Because I have fallen into that myself.
Correct.
And often even our partners get so used to you being so much of a provider
that that's all you become.
They forget to provide for themselves or how to learn to provide for themselves.
Correct.
And I think we need to start guarding against that.
Yeah.
Both for ourselves and for our partners.
Absolutely.
That you still have individual paths that you're
on. You must learn who you are before you then provide for others.
Exactly.
Because once you know those things, then you, when you get into, once you start to enjoy the liberation, so you're at 3 months, at about a year, year and a half, you'll start to go, listen, this is really, really cool. I actually prefer this.
No, dude, I'm actually, like I said, it's been tough, but it's been liberating.
It gets better.
And it's dope also just not having to answer questions.
Yeah.
And account to anyone at a certain level.
Yes. But that's part of the thing where you give yourself the freedom, where you go, no, actually, I'm a grown man. I'm allowed to do it. I'm allowed. I choose to do it and give yourself the permission. And once that happens, you actually become a better human being, even for the people you provide for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's the one thing. Even just the guilt of, like you said, you took 20 grand, you wanted to take yourself shopping. Even just sometimes where you're spoiling yourself, but you feel bad. But I haven't bought anything for my son. I haven't bought anything for the kids. Because you're in provider mode all the time.
All the time. You're in constant. Back when I was somebody's husband, I remember I would buy myself a pair of sneakers and then I would get, and me?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Of course. I need to buy for you as well and for you as well. And so that becomes your mindset is that anytime I provide for myself, I must provide for others.
Mm.
And no, that's not true.
Absolutely.
That's not true.
Like the other day, I wanted a fragrance because I collect fragrances.
Incidentally, you smell amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You smell really, really. That was the first thing I noticed.
Hopefully you can smell it through the camera and through the speakers.
Sorry. Anyway.
And I was buying myself a fragrance because I felt I deserved a fragrance.
Yes.
I ended up buying for the kids and for my ex-wife. Because I felt bad.
Yes.
And that's been me my entire life.
Because we were taught that. We were taught that as young boys.
Yeah.
Because society drums that into us. You go onto social media now and they say, a real man provides for.
A man must.
Yeah. A man must. Yeah. And so, learn to be alone.
Sure.
And really relish and sit in it.
Mm.
Once you do that, then you can choose to come out of it or not.
In terms of talking about healing, for argument's sake, and getting past an incident or whatever drama you might have been through, don't you love when either a word, a name, a location, or even a car that used to trigger you or cause you anxiety now stops? All of a sudden, you are immune to that trigger.
Suddenly you... Oh,
is that not the best feeling?
It's like water. It's like fresh water. It's like being under a
Oh, I was waiting for you to do that Tyler move.
Yeah, I tried it. There are body parts that don't move. There are body parts. Has that started happening to you, by the way?
What?
Where your body just starts to ache for no reason. You're not sick. You didn't hurt yourself. And it just goes, I choose to be sore. And then it goes away.
Luckily not. Touch wood. So
he touches his head.
That's the only wood I could find. And the laptop is on my...
And,
otherwise, I'd lift my laptop.
My supervisor is now working for you.
So for instance, my best friend from high school, Norwegian boy, lives in Norway.
Yeah.
They came over for Christmas.
Mm.
And we had a 21st dinner for my son, Tato. So Oscar is there with his family. Mm. And he takes out his phone. And I can't remember what I was, but I needed to tell him something, but he needed to Google it.
Okay.
And then his font is huge. So Oscar is a year older than me. And I'm like, dude, why is your font like that? He's like, oh, is it not happening to you yet? I can't see anymore.
No, everything else is still working properly. It's just I have inexplicable pains.
I'm not there yet.
and not even like joint pain.
Yeah. Just a random pain.
Just a random pain on your fourth rib.
I call them random African auntie pains.
Yeah.
Because every auntie of mine, including my mother, when I was a kid, always had a pain somewhere. Can I listen to Habimo?
Yeah.
Or they have a pain here.
I've now joined that crew.
Jeez. So we shall call you Rakhadi Tomla.
Yeah. To describe my pains, I'll take it.
Oh, man. So it's back to school for kids this week.
Yes.
Do you remember your first day at school as a child, by any chance?
The very, very first day at school.
Yeah. Or that era.
I do. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I do. So I went to, as Kawini people will know this.
Yeah.
I went to a school called Thakasani.
This is in KZN.
In the sticks of, well, it's not the sticks anymore. Yeah. Now it's a scary township.
Sure.
But Eskawin, there was a little town, school called
Eskawin. In fact, as a child, you grew up speaking isiZulu before you spoke isiXhosa, right?
In its order, I spoke English first.
Okay.
The first language I ever spoke.
We can tell.
Anyway, good seeing you, man. I'm sick of here.
And then what did you dilute the English with?
And then I spoke, and then we lived in KZN.
Yeah.
And so first non-English, it was English, then Zulu,
Yeah. And
then Xhosa,
Okay. And
then bits and pieces of
everything
Sesotho
else.
And
Yeah. Everything
else in Joburg. I, as a kid, because no one spoke English then, it was
yes.
a marvel that you had a little black boy who could speak English.
Fluent, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And we used to do this game where we were speaking like white people. So swing, swing. Doesn't my mother smack me? Damn it, shut up. You know how to speak this language. In front of touring, my friends.
Blew your cover.
Ah, man. So they all turn around to me like, oh, could miss this.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I lost some street cred there. But yeah. First day of school, I remember it very clearly. One of my cousins who we basically grew up together as twins.
Yeah.
I think she was a year older than me, but literally we did everything together.
Mm.
And she got me into a lot of trouble. I actually need to do a series about her. We went there and she did not want to go to school. She was basically dragged to school by the ankle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was there going, oh, okay,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
and she was dragged in by, and now I understand, only now recently when my number four.
Yeah.
Explained
I like the way you're
me.
Counting like you have 100.
I have six. That's a lot.
Dude, I have five. Like, hold my beer. Let me make a sixth.
Do you know all their names at the same time when you are really thirsty or want something?
Well, I always ask the one closest.
But do you know their name?
I know their names immediately.
I'm gone past
and
that.
I'm at five.
I'm just like you.
Yeah.
You, man. And you know who.
Nancy,
I'm pointing
Nancy.
At you. Get the thing. Damn it. anyway, she points out to me. She says to me, Dada, you realize that school and prison are identical?
Sure.
I'm like, get out of here. School and prison are not. She's like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
You get to come home.
Yeah.
And she goes, that's it.
To another prison.
that's literally it. Because you're in classrooms just like in prisons.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of daytime. What's it called in prison when you get half an hour's daytime?
Yeah, time in the courtyard.
In the court,
yeah.
And you literally get a little bit of daytime in the courtyard.
Yeah.
You have teachers.
There's detention.
There's detention, which is...
solitary confinement.
Literally.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, child, come on, man. Come on.
But you are going back to more.
Yes, yes. You're still going back to school.
Now, you used to be ragged for how many kids you have.
Yes.
Why do you think that is, and how did it make you feel?
Oh, my gosh. this was especially around the time of
when you went political.
No, it was.
Is it pre?
It started pre-politics.
Yes.
I was separating from Candy at the time.
Yeah.
And a person that I was messing around with was working in the newspapers, and so it kind of bled from there.
Ah, okay. Hold up. So you screwed the enemy?
Essentially.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't help that I did a cover with one of the kids.
Did you learn the lesson not to...
No.
Okay, so you do it again?
Yeah. I wouldn't do it now, but it took a long, long time to learn. That incident was not the time where I learned the lesson.
Oh, flip, so you went back.
So I went back.
Jeez.
Okay. Yeah. Call me sucker for punishment.
Q advisor, where were you?
Right? No, I take a long time to learn things.
Yeah,
so life will go, don't go then. I'll go, are you sure?
No, you don't take long to learn things. You're just a guy. It's okay. Yeah.
No, No, you can't say that. No, there are very, very smart, emotionally intelligent men out there. Just you and I are not them, but they're there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, you and I.
We will wait.
We come from a certain breed of stock, and a few other guys that we shan't mention.
Sort of stock.
Yeah. Restock of a certain type. We simply don't learn.
Oh man.
It takes a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, that's part of the fun though. That really is part of the fun. When I look back on some of the things one has done, I'm sure like, I would never allow my son to do things like that.
Sure.
I would never.
But isn't that why it's called a lesson though? That hopefully you've learned from it, and hopefully
so that generationally
someone else can learn from that lesson.
Exactly.
Anyway, so you did a cover with your kid, and then how did it become a thing though?
Well, because I didn't do it with the other kid.
Okay.
And so things started to fall apart from there.
And how did you feel about that at the time?
Panicked.
Yeah.
Panicked. Mm. I was panicked. Panic. Mm. You know, you find out that the world... Because you're young, you've got your first kid and things are going well. Suddenly you're having your second kid and now it's outside of wedlock. And oh God, judgment. I had been this perfect picture and now I'm starting to show cracks all over
the
place.
You're the leading man of leading men.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
things were going really well and suddenly I'm falling off that pedestal. Falling sucks in anything.
Sure.
And I think I was bashing my head on every step on the way down. Mm. And suddenly there was this wave. And this is the other thing.
Mm.
A lot of the time, this is one of the reasons why I left social media, is someone said to me, when you engage with people, you need to have perspective.
Mm.
You are not talking to the person on par.
Sure.
You're talking to that person's hurt. You are now replacing the guy who damaged her, and you become the face for that.
There's never context.
No,
ever,
there's
ever.
Never ever context. Mm. And so I, for a while, I became that. I became the face of all the guys that had damaged ladies all over the place, and I became the vomit basin for it.
Mm.
You know, and it sucks. And you take it, and eventually, they're all vomited out, and life moves on.
Did any of your personal dramas affect work?
Yes.
At a delivery level?
No.
At a I might lose work level?
I lost quite a bit of work. Lost a chunk of work.
Mm.
I lost a chunk. I would go through dry spells where people wouldn't touch me because my name was poison.
You're too hot.
Yeah. I was just too hot. One of the ones that hurt the most, actually. Mm. I did a thing with Fishburne.
Sure.
And we had such a great rapport that he introduced me to his agent and his managers and really advocated for it. And one of the first questions the manager asked is, so how many kids? Mm. And I, like a dumbass, go, oh, I have 5 kids.
Mm.
And he goes, whoa.
One from one mom, and I go, no. Mm. And I remember the room just suddenly going, jeez, yeah. Ice cold. Mm. And that became it.
Oh, wow.
That was it.
Just like that.
Missed opportunity where I'm just like, damn it. Mm. Damn it. Mm. And then it happened once or twice after that, where it's just your personal life affects opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as much as you're saying there were dry spells where never there were dry spells, you've pretty much worked nonstop since you were a child, though.
Relatively.
I mean, since you were probably around 14, 15.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you were at the SABC, what, 1988 already?
1988,
What were you doing at the SABC in 1988?
Oh, gosh, we were doing...
But 1988, you'd have been about 13.
Yeah, 14, yeah. I was doing one of these family dramas with what's her name? Mbuli.
Bonnie Mbuli.
Bonnie Mbuli played my baby sister way back when.
These guys were at the SABC when the SABC had canteens for white people and black people.
Literally.
That's how long ago this was.
I keep telling people, the reason why the SABC has so many toilets, you can't throw a stone and not hit a toilet.
Absolutely.
At the SABC.
Yeah.
It's because...
There were black toilets and white
toilets. These were black toilets and those were white toilets.
Yeah.
And so at every turn, there were black male toilets... white male toilets, black female toilets, black, and so everywhere, every passage has like four.
Some of my colleagues at 5FM used to tell me about that era where there was a black canteen and a white canteen, but black folk were not allowed in the white canteen.
Yeah, I remember very well my first time there.
But white folk were allowed in the black canteen.
That's right.
And they used to go there for pup because they wanted pup because it wasn't available on the other side.
It's literally true. Yeah. So the canteen at the studio side, that was a black canteen.
Sure.
The white canteen was the one on the first floor on your way to the news.
Oh, yes.
The news studios.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a white canteen. Nobody was allowed there.
Jeez.
I remember very well. In fact, I remember being very nervous talking to a producer and they go, no, come, let's grab a meal. I'm like, and she walked in. We were walking and we're having a conversation and she walks directly in and looks back like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, it's, I'm a, not it's whites only. There. That's a whites only place. I'm not trying to get killed in a...
I'm not trying to be news.
Do you know what I mean? And keep in mind, SABC is a nuclear bunker.
Absolutely.
So they can kill you and hide you in places nobody knows.
In the other shallow graves.
Yeah. I could fall in a shower and break every bone in my body. It was fun times.
So Trevor Noah and The Daily Show won an Emmy this past week.
Yes, I saw that recently.
And you know, if you were someone else, you'd have said I won an Emmy before Trevor, but that's a story for another day.
How do you know that? Not many people know that.
Let's talk about the curse of your Emmy.
How do you know that? Who's doing research? How do you know that?
I know people that know people. So you won an Emmy literally almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, around 2001 for directing.
Sure.
And I went to... So I was directing this one show, an American South African show. And we won an Emmy.
Yeah.
For it. And after that, I battled to find directing work. I went to Generations, actually. And it was over a stupid thing. So we're talking terminology with this one guy. And I go, no, actually, this terminology covers all of this. And the cameraman know exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And he went, no, you will do it this way. And it was old guy from the old regime who insisted on this. And so I was fired.
Wow.
Inside that week, because I spoke back to an old regime person.
Yeah.
And it was really smart because they used, Kurt.
Yes.
Igolov. He was the one who just went, look, dude, I thought you were... Oh, firstly, I say to him, hey, listen, so, you know, you are someone I look up to. And I won an Emmy.
Sure.
And his first words to me are... You know, I remember somebody who was kneeling on the ground going, "Dear God, look at all of my awards, and yet I can't find work, and yet I'm a bad person." And I'm like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why would you go and minimize this huge achievement like that?" Then I called, and then later in the week he would fire me. Then I called the Sunday World. What was that?
One of the papers.
One of the papers.
Sunday Sun, Sunday World.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's probably Sunday World at the time.
And I'm like, "Hey, listen, just FYI,
I'm an Emmy Award winner.
I won an Emmy." And their words were, "We don't do puff pieces.
Yeah,
we're not going to do your puff piece." So I, oh, okay. And that was literally the last time I mentioned it.
Jeez.
Never mentioned it ever again.
Would you say this Emmy was more of a curse than a...
Well,
a blessing.
Insofar as getting me fired, that's a lie. Insofar as it got me no love at Generations way back when.
Yeah.
And then after that, no, because I never mentioned it.
Sure.
I've never spoken. That's why I'm surprised that you know about that. I've never spoken about it ever again.
But you've also never really stopped working. You're working all the time.
But I've also, relatively speaking, I say relatively speaking because you go through like a 6-month dry spell you go through. But in the main, I've been very, very lucky.
Mm.
I've been very, very, very lucky.
How much of it is luck and how much of it is the fact that you actually kick ass at what you do?
I'll let you say that.
Okay.
I will say it's luck.
Okay,
I work really, really hard.
Mm.
I do the best I can, and the rest is luck. It's powers beyond me.
Would you say you're one of the best to ever do it in your generation?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
Who is? In your generation?
In my generation?
My manager thinks you are.
Thank you. I don't know. It's weird. I don't think like that.
Mm.
I've never ever thought it. They are
people. Do you ever have creative envy, though? And not in a negative way, just in a, "Damn, you kick ass, son. I wish that was me in that role." Not necessarily that I want to be you, but damn, this person kicks ass. Male or female, even.
More around choices.
Yeah.
Not so much in the actual. So I look at guys, and I mean, my contemporaries, a lot of them are doing just consistently brilliant work, consistently.
And would you agree with me, though, that the game in terms of what is being put out over the last 10 years has changed? It's almost like a totally new industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Back in our day, it was unfathomable that a Trevor Noah would occur.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
We
played in our pond.
Yeah, we played in our pond. You did the best you could.
Sure.
And occasionally, the ones who went across the pond generally didn't get a lot of love.
Sure.
So it wasn't a global community in that sense. I look now at someone now.
Yeah.
I look at someone like a Tuso Mbedu.
Sure.
And go, and I just go,
"Jeez, child. Yeah.
Man, you've made some excellent choices."
Yeah. Yeah.
Just excellent choices.
Yeah.
So with Trevor, I go, "You've done really, really well, but you're in your field."
Sure.
In the acting field, I would say someone like a Tuso has really blown it out the water.
So for instance, I often look at someone like a Dr. Kumalo.
Yeah.
And I wish not only for myself as a Dr. Kumalo fan, but also for him and also for the game at large.
Yeah.
That a part of me wishes Doctor had peaked, say, 10 years ago.
Yes.
When the game is different.
When the game is different. Jeepers. That's exactly it.
You know what I mean?
It's being brilliant at a time where that kind of brilliance is not known or not acknowledged or, you know. But it's also got its upside. So I look now and I go, if I were peaking, if I were 13 now, change nothing else.
Sure.
Just shifted across a little bit, I wouldn't do as well as I've done because the quality is so much better.
Sure.
Just the quality of your leading man.
Mm.
These young guys are are no, doing
bringing,
it, man.
They're bringing it. Yeah.
They're bringing it. Yep. They look good. Mm. They sound good. They're putting out amazing, amazing work. And at the time, there were maybe four of us, you know, four or five of us leading men material.
Sure.
And so, of course, the opportunities are going to be very, very different, which gives you a hell of a lot more mileage and. Now there's much more competition. But so that's the trade-off.
But there's also a lot of sex, a lot of nudity, a lot of, yeah. I know my mom can't watch this.
That's...
Where do you draw the G-string line?
I'm in the process of shifting that line right now.
Shut up.
I am.
Yeah?
I am.
What, Adulting 3?
No, I shot something last night.
Oh, flip.
Like, literally. I'm literally in the process of shifting that. So prior to that, I had only done a proper risque scene.
Mm.
I had done one with Thembi Siete ages ago on a film called Fools.
And then Thembi a couple of months ago was like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Let me show some love.
Yeah, I was. So I saw that because I've known Thembi to be really demure and ladylike. And she shot that out like, wow, and look, you look amazing. I'm doing one too. Screw what you heard. I'm doing one too.
So you've done it.
And so, I did quite a risque thing last night.
Oh, flip.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to tell us your co-star?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are you allowed to tell us where we get to see it?
It's going to be on Netflix.
Okay.
They haven't started publicizing and such. But it's rough. It's
like rough as in what? Like, are you doing anal? What do you mean rough?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
At one point, yes.
Was it a decision you were able to make immediately, or did you have to bring a supervisor? Did you have to
consult? I had a long conversation with the supervisor. I had a conversation with the kids.
And the partner?
And the partner, obviously.
Yeah.
And at some point... Here's what changed me.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was flipping through, and I saw a picture of a beach. It was a beach scene.
Sure.
And I was like, look at these people. And they're walking around in Speedos.
Yeah.
Life is short.
Exactly.
And so jumped in.
Now you're doing anal on TV.
As it were.
So today is the day after the scene you shot last night. How are you feeling?
It's gone.
It's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
One of the beauties of being an actor is after a while, you learn to let stuff go.
Okay, once it's in the can, it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Literally. It's finished. It's gone. By the time it's on screen, that's not me. I don't know who that is.
You've moved on to the next one.
I don't even recognize that person.
Sure.
I've moved on. It's gone. You have to learn to let go.
Now, I remember about 10 years ago, I bumped into you.
Yeah.
And you were very passionate about why nobody should be voting for the ruling party. This was 10 years ago.
Oh, goodness.
And you were mentioning a lot of things that 10 years later, a lot of us look back and say, Shomla was right. How do you feel about that?
No, nobody is going to say that. No one.
But I'm saying to you now.
Yeah. It's the curse. It's Jonah's curse.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the story of Jonah.
Mm.
God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them to stop their ways. Otherwise, I'm going to punish them.
Sure.
And Jonah goes, no, hell no. No, 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 no. Mm. I know how you operate.
Sure.
I'm going to go there and tell them these things. Mm. And then... you will forgive them and I'll look like the crazy guy.
I'll be the bad news guy.
I'll be the bad news guy who's walking around and everyone will be like, where's this God who's going to punish us? Because look, so it's a bit like that.
Sure.
It's the curse of seeing something before other people can see it.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyone who was around... and involved in that movement, COPE, let's say it. A lot of the people who joined COPE at the time were people who started to notice even back then that, listen, we're going off the line and it's going to have horrible, horrible repercussions. And we did what we could with what we had. The one victory that I still walk away with from then is, can you imagine during Msholozi's time, Msholozi with a two-thirds majority, where he can change the constitution of the land? I can safely say we would not be in, things would be infinitely worse. And so that's one small victory. And, you know, yeah. It sucks in one way, and there are things you still can't say and speak about. But, you know, it's the curse. It's Jonah's curse.
South Africa is going to the polls in a couple of months' time. In fact, half the planet is going to the polls.
Yeah.
And my challenge to young people across the globe, given that half of the world is going into an election this year,
right,
and majority of the electorate are young people. Young people literally have an opportunity for a soft reboot of the way things are done by simply voting differently.
Yes, but I would add to that.
Yeah.
I would add to that. So if you look at the psyche of young people and you go, whose country is it? In practice, in the things they say and such, the country doesn't belong to South Africans. It's not young South Africans.
Sure.
They delegate that power off to politicians, to the ruling party, too. And so what I say usually is, yes, voting is the first step. It's your country.
Sure.
It belongs to you. It literally is your country. And so
stop behaving like a guest.
Yes.
Stop walking around like you're a guest.
Stop walking around. We walk around on eggshells because...
Like you're an imposter or you're afraid you're going to upset people.
Right.
If you say exactly what you feel.
It's your country.
Yeah.
There are people who died so that you can have the ability to speak exactly your mind.
Sure.
And yes, there are people in power now who are going to use whatever influence they have to try and punish you. What's the worst case scenario? Worst case scenario is they make your job uncomfortable. Sure. Worst case scenario is they get you fired from this one job. Sure. There are people who died so that you have this freedom.
There are people still missing, unaccounted for.
So that you can have this freedom, and your reason for not then exercising that freedom is that they're going to make me uncomfortable at work.
Sure.
Nah.
We need to wrap up because we're being shouted at. Not because I want to chase you away. President Dandala, what would you do differently?
Oh, gosh. how much time do you have? I'll give you my top ones.
Okay.
I would reintroduce non-military conscription.
Sure. I agree. As someone who did that in Botswana, I agree.
Definitely. I would make certain careers vocational.
Sure.
So if you want to be a teacher, that's a vocational job. Police is vocational. And what I mean by that is, as a preacher's kid, I've never lived in one place longer than 3 years.
Sure.
Right. So we would go to KZN, live there 2-3 years, and the church, for no reason at all, will move us to another place. And that becomes the thing. You want to solve the issues around crime and such.
And employability.
And then make sure that cops, all the way up to your station commanders, they move around.
Sure.
We need your skill in Ngqutu.
Sure.
You're really, really good at dealing with this violent crime thing. Go do it in Ngqutu.
Sure.
And then in 3 years' time, we'll move you out to some place in the middle of the Karoo and do that for everyone. Do that for teachers.
And I'm starting to see it at the borders even. We're starting to see less familiar faces at the borders, which is actually a brilliant thing.
Yes.
Because you can't have the same faces. They become furniture. Some even become corruptible.
Well, that's how you become corruptible. You learn the system. Suddenly you realize the patterns. Yeah. 4 or 5 years in, you've set up your own network.
Yeah.
Good luck setting up a network in 6 months when you know that you're going to get moved to another place.
Absolutely.
And when you get there, 2 years, you're going to get moved again.
Absolutely.
So I would definitely do that. Those would be some of my top two. I would also create a new language called Azanian.
Sure.
And Azanian would be the functional language of the country. Mm. It would be like Fanagalo.
Sure.
So it takes a little bit of English, a little bit of Xhosa, a little bit of Afrikaans, a little bit of Pedi, Sotho, and it mixes it together. And then I would hire a bunch of musicians and artists, poets and writers to write in this. And that becomes the new language of the land.
Mm. Why is that critical?
Because the identity of being South African has got to be bigger than your cultural or racial identity.
There must be something.
There must be something. Mm. We have nothing currently that holds us together as South Africans versus a black South African versus a male South African, a Xhosa South African. We don't have that. And I think that's what Utat Mandela was trying to do when he introduced things like Ubuntu.
Sure.
And because we as South Africans didn't then invest in that identity beyond him, we now look back on it and go, that was a fallacy. Well, yes, it was a fallacy because you've let an asset rot.
Sure.
For 30 years or 25 years. And now that it's rotting, you're now blaming the asset and not the fact that you didn't spend your time in
there. There was a ball. No one took it and ran with it.
Precisely.
Shomla, we're out of time. And I haven't even looked at my prep yet. I was about to start with the...
Oh, yeah. No, welcome me to the show. I'm ready now. I'm ready. Go.
Okay, guys. Now we're going to start the interview, now that the chat is done. My dude, you kick butt, man.
No, thank you.
And like I said, you're not going to say it, so I'm going to say it, that you're one of the best to ever do it, not only in your generation, but I think across the board.
No, thanks a lot.
And if you don't hear it from anyone else, you'll hear it from me. And every time I see you, I will remind you.
Thank you very much.
Shout out to you. Thank you for sharing... certain parts of your life that many wouldn't have even dared speak about on an interview. We appreciate that also.
Well done on your research, dude.
We don't take it for granted.
No, likewise.
Yeah.
It's refreshing to...
It's the team, not me.
Did you see this? It's refreshing to chat with someone who asks questions beyond air. So what does it feel like to be an actor?
No, how does it feel to be you, Chomla? Oh, where do we catch you when next? Are you on screen anytime soon? Anything new happening?
Yes.
You shot sex scenes last night. When do we see those?
So there's something coming up on Netflix.
Okay.
That's going to be a lot more risque. I'll tell you this. It's based on a very controversial book.
Jeez, 50 Shades of Black?
No, a South African book.
Oh, okay.
A very controversial South African book. That's all I'll say about that. And then you can catch me fairly soon on ETV. I'm taking over from Zolisa Xaluva.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
Taking over somebody's role where it's like the role of Caesar will now be played
especially
by.
When they owned it.
Especially when they... And he owned it, man.
Yeah.
He did really well. And so very nervously, I called them up and said, hey, listen, they're asking me to do this. I will not do it if you don't give me your blessing.
Sure.
And he did. He was very, very generous.
And we're not in an industry where people actually do that. People actually don't care.
I don't understand that. Because
it doesn't make sense.
It ends up destroying you.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. No. He was amazing, actually. Mm. He was like, look, this is where we lost each other. Be careful of this.
Yeah.
Go into it like that. Otherwise, dude, you have my absolute blessing.
Yes,
sir. I was really, really grateful.
My dude, may you do this for another 50 years?
From your mouth to God's ear.
God is like, Gabriel, watch me make this happen.
And likewise.
He'll be in a Zimmer frame, but he'll be acting still.
No, thank you, man. Congratulations again on this.
Thank you very much, dude.
I'm a big, big fan of the show.
We've only just begun.
I'm a big, big fan and looking forward to all the amazing... You know you're an institution, dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, from one institution to another... Shomla Dandala is leaving the building. This week sees the start of the new academic year. Schools and other educational institutions will resume teaching and instruction. But many young people were presented with a lesson last week that many may not have noticed. Recently, South Africa laid to rest two luminaries of the artistic world, who were also international icons in the fight against apartheid. Playwright and artist Mbongeni Ngema and photographer and Tate Pita Magubane. While some may insist that violence will not get you noticed, Mr. Ngema and Mr. Magubane proved that by using creativity, knowledge, and even art, you can make yourself and your cause heard without burning or damaging anything. They showed that using ideas and crafting things in a unique way, your ideals, pleas, and message can reach a much wider audience. It is in that spirit that we wish you all a great start to the year and a wow week ahead, in spite of yourselves. We are coming to you live from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg, part of the Africa Podcast Network. Shout out to Pezulu Works for the cinematography, all of the imaging, the audio imaging by artist The Flo Fraser. Our guest, geez, Shomla Dandala, need I say more, creative producer Krivesh Mohan, show producer and Shomla fan Kelezo Modisa King. And of course, you can email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com.